Well, from time to time, people give me these little one-liners. Somebody handed this to me today. Christian one-liners. Don't let your worries get the best of you. Remember, Moses started out as a basket case. So I just hope that encourages you tonight. It really does fit a little bit with what we're going to talk about in preparing our hearts for the communion, and that is, at times we do feel like a basket case. At times we're overwhelmed by the circumstances of life. I want you to turn with me over to Psalm 142, if you would. Psalm 142. I love the Psalms and have tried to make it a habit to read a psalm a day. It would probably be good to read more than that, but I like to read through Proverbs. I like to read through Psalms on a regular basis and then read through the Bible. And the Psalms teach us to pray. And they teach us what to do when we feel overwhelmed. We're going to look at just these short seven verses together, but I want you to jump right down there to verse 3 and 4. Here's the psalmist running for his life from King Saul, who literally has an army and he's tracking down David and trying to kill him out of jealousy. He wants to kill David. And David's hiding in a cave. And David cries out here in the middle of this psalm. He says, when my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then thou knewest my path. You knew my way. You knew what was going on in my life. In the way wherein I walked, have they privily laid a snare for me. I looked on my right hand, and behold, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. David was really at the bottom, and he's expressing this here in this psalm. And this is a prayer that he's praying back to God. And I think one of the blessings of the psalms is as we go through the psalms, we see that God allowed David to go through all different mountaintops and valleys and difficulties. And when we go through difficult things, two things we can remember. One is there are people who've gone through things like we have before us. And God has sustained them. God has helped them. He can help me. Another thing we can remember as we come to the communion tonight is, what are we celebrating? The death and sacrifice of Christ, but also do this in remembrance till I come, that he's risen. Well, what is Jesus doing right now? Well, we know where he is. Where is he? Right hand of God the Father. What's he doing? He's interceding for me and for you. He's praying for us. And so what a comfort it is to realize that, yes, there are other people who understand what I'm going through, but Jesus understands. He knows the hurts because he took on human flesh and he suffered in ways that I will never suffer. There's a depth of the suffering of Christ which is infinite. And I have a sympathetic Savior, but also a sympathetic intercessor. Now, I gave you a little assignment here for this afternoon. And that assignment was just to think about, who are some people that have cared for your soul? Yes, there are times when we realize the only person that can sustain me right now is God, God himself. And there's also another part of that truth in the New Testament where it says in Galatians, bear ye one another's burdens. And you remember in Galatians 6 that the word for burden there is a little different than the word for burden a couple verses before that in Galatians 6, where it says every man shall bear his own burden. Well, the word for burden, the first one that we're all to bear, is carry your own knapsack. You have responsibilities that God gives you. Buck up and do what God gave you to do. Ask him for the strength and do your job. Be faithful. Fulfill the role God has given you. However, in all of our lives, there will be seasons where the burdens come rolling in upon us. Not one, but multitudes. And we get a burden too heavy to be borne. And we need people to come alongside of us. We need Christ to strengthen us. We need the intercessory ministry of Jesus, but we also need the body of Christ. We need Christian friends who will help us. And I asked you to do a little thinking this afternoon. Can you think of some people who have helped you? Some people who have cared for you? And just their care, their concern made a difference. It was a blessing to you. It was a help to you. Ultimately, God uses people. And I mean, we all can think of it. We could spend more time. You know, I think of how my parents loved me and encouraged me along the way when it wasn't always easy. I remember being in this youth group in Ruby, Wirt, and Ev. That goes back a lot of years. They just loved the teenagers unconditionally. And we have youth workers here, Pastor Mark and Danelle and others, who just pour their lives into our children and our youth. Praise God for that. I remember when I went to college. Remember, did you ever hear of the Meyer Minrith clinics? They had those for a while. Well, Paul Meyer was in college with me. And I remember I was a little younger. And he just took me aside and talked to me about spiritual things. People that God brings in your life. But then I could never list all the people in this church that have just prayed for me and encouraged me over and over through the years. I am glad God doesn't leave us alone. He doesn't set us in a cave. He allows us to be part of a family, a local church. But there will be times in all of our lives where circumstances will cause us to feel like we're alone. And that's what David was feeling. So let's just go back and look quickly at this psalm. What do we do when we feel overwhelmed? What do we do when those times come where we feel forsaken and we feel uncared for? Let's just learn from David. I want to just list five things out of this psalm that can boil down really to two or three, but you'll get the idea from the verses. Number one, David cried out to God. Look at verse one. And this, the heading of this in many of your Bibles will say a prayer when he was in a cave. And the belief is that this was from the time in 1 Samuel chapter 22, verse 1, where he was running for his life from King Saul, who was jealous. David hadn't done anything wrong, but Saul was not right with God. And he imagined that David was against him. He wasn't. And Saul was taking his life, or seeking to take David's life. And David's hiding out in this cave, running for his life. And what does he do? Verse 1, I cried unto the Lord with my voice. With my voice unto the Lord did I make my supplication. So here, it was so serious that David, this wasn't one of those silent, quiet prayers in his heart. He was to the point of despair, and he cried out verbally to God, God, help me. God, I need you. He cried out to the Lord. And then notice the second thing. Show God your troubles. Show God your troubles. Verse 2, I poured out my complaint before him. I showed before him my trouble. God wants us to tell him all about it. Tell him all your troubles was one of the old songs we used to sing. And so, pour out my complaint. Show your troubles to God. Number three, tell him you are overwhelmed and that you know he knows. Look at verse 3. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then thou knewest my path. In the way wherein I walked, have they privily laid a snare for me. Now here's David the hero. Here's David the man who has conquered and been victorious and been praised. Saul killed his thousands and David his 10,000s. I mean, David's known the mountaintop of success. But David now, the hero, is the hurting. David is at the bottom. Emotionally, he is down. He's running for his life. A fog of despair has come in on him. Have you ever had times like that? I'm sure you have. And in the course of life, we're going to have times like that. Because circumstances in a fallen world are often very difficult and overwhelming. Do you ever feel weak? It's because we are weak. Do you ever feel trapped? Circumstances coming in on you. Great trials come. But then we have to remember that God is greater. He is greater still than those trials. And we have to acknowledge, and you see it here in the psalm, that we're not just a body, we're a soul. I have a soul and a spirit, and so do you, an immaterial part of our being. And that soul has needs that only God can meet. Those soul needs aren't met by food or going to a doctor, per se, though that has its place. But our soul needs have to be met by God. And so he's overwhelmed. He's crying out to God. He's telling God all of his problems that People are trying to take his life. Snares are being set. His life is on the line here. And I read a little devotional by Spurgeon that spoke to me, and it reminded me of our communion time tonight. That when we pray, we remind ourselves that Jesus understands the despair that happens in the course of a life in a sinful world. He was rejected by his own. And then, of all things, on the cross, he bore our sin and he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? We can't even fully grasp what that means, that he took our sin on himself and suffered separation from God the Father in our place. He took our sufferings. He took our hell. Whatever grief we will ever endure in life will never carry the grief that Jesus carried when he was on the cross, when he died in our place. And one of the devotionals that my wife and I read together by Spurgeon from his morning and evening devotions April 12, here's how it reads. He says, "Believer, come near the cross and humbly adore the King of glory as having once been brought far lower in mental distress and inward anguish than any one among us, and mark his fitness to become a faithful high priest who can be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. Especially let those of us whose sadness springs directly from the withdrawal of a present sense of our Father's love enter into near and intimate communion with Jesus. Let us not despair. Let us not give way to despair, since through this dark room the Master has passed before us. Our souls may sometimes long and faint and thirst even to anguish to behold the light of the Lord's countenance. At such times, let us stay ourselves with the sweet fact of the sympathy of our great high priest. Our drops of sorrow may well be forgotten in the ocean of his griefs. But how high ought our love to rise? Come in, O strong, deep love of Jesus, like the sea at the flood in spring tides. Cover all my powers, drown all my sins, wash out all my cares, lift up my earth-bound soul, and float it right up to my Lord's feet, and let me lie there a poor broken shell, washed up by his love, having no virtue or value, and only venturing to whisper to him that he will put his ear to me. He will hear within my heart faint echoes of the vast waves of his own love, which have brought me where it is my delight to lie even at his feet forever." Spurgeon was a very gifted man, quite a preacher, but he struggled at times with feelings of despair. But he learned to go to God with those feelings of despair. And someone said, the higher God might take you in using you for his glory, the lower he must allow you to go in humility and suffering. Jesus went the lowest of all. Spurgeon knew what he was talking about, the words he's talking about here, how God was working in his life through his own weakness to cast himself on God and let God put God's love back into his heart, where his own love was low to be filled with the flood of God's love. And I think that the psalmist here is acknowledging this, that, Lord, there's times in my life where on the feeling level, I don't feel God's love, but I know you're there. And I cry out to you in prayer. I cry out to you, Lord, help me. You know, one of the blessings that I've really been encouraged by, and I've shared this with you, is journaling. And I don't do it as much as I should, but I'm thankful for everything I have been able to do. As I was going through my notes on this psalm, this will take some of you back. How many of you were here in 2008? Most of you. Okay. Some of you weren't. All right. This is 2008. And I was reading this psalm, and I was crying out to God for Caleb, because we're trying to figure out what was wrong with that little boy. And the doctors couldn't figure it out. And some of you have that right now going on. You've got loved ones. Then the doctors can't figure out what's going on. And you go to doctors, but you cry out to God. You cry out to God. Right in 2008, we were having decreasing enrollment in our Christian school. Well, that's discouraging because we need increasing enrollment. The need for Christian education is greater than ever. And so when I came to this psalm, I jotted that down in my journal to pray that God would bless and bring in more students to have a good God-centered education. And those were just some of the burdens that I had written down. There are others here. But it's such an encouragement to your soul when you look back in your prayer journal and see, you know, there have been times where we really didn't have any answer except God and prayer. And you know what? God's been faithful over and over and over through our lives, through the history of this church, through godly people here who have tested and proven the faithfulness of God. We have seen God's goodness. Amen? He has been faithful. He has been so faithful. And so I encourage you to encourage your own heart in the Lord. Write down your prayer requests and then write down the praises when God answers them. And go back from time to time and look in your notes in the Psalms and the Proverbs. I end up with a journal, but I end up journaling in my devotional notes. And it all gets mixed up together because God is at work as He speaks to our hearts and He shows Himself strong and He shows us His faithfulness. If you'll notice number 4 here, acknowledge man's inability and acknowledge your weakness as an opportunity to trust God. Look at verse 4. I looked on my right hand and behold, there was no man that could know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. You ever have times where the circumstances are such that you don't feel loved? Spurgeon was talking about that even though he knew he was loved, he knew God loved him with an everlasting love, he didn't have the sensed presence of the love of God. Those are difficult times. And there are times when we may feel vulnerable, we may feel unprotected, we may feel uncared for, needy, desperate, weak, imprisoned, alone. Those are all feelings that are coming out of this psalm. That's how David felt. Well, God can meet the deepest needs. Remember recently we shared the quote from Corrie Ten Boom? I can't imagine the emotional pits she went into being in a concentration camp, seeing the abuse and seeing her sister die in that condition, all that she went through. And she was the one that made the statement that there is no pit so deep that God and His grace is not deeper still. She wasn't talking out of theory. She lived that. But you know, if we all live long enough, we're going to experience times where it's low, it's difficult, it's impossible. And we better know the Psalms, hadn't we? We better know how to go to God in prayer. We better know how to pray back to God the Psalms and the truths of the Psalms so that we can see the same God who sustained Corrie Ten Boom sustain us in our lives. We don't know what the future holds. Those of us who are studying our Bibles, we know how it all turns out. And we're pretty encouraged. Jesus is coming back. Part of what we're going to do tonight is remind ourselves of those words. This do in remembrance till I come. And, you know, it's like the person who, you know, just believes in the sovereignty of God and sometimes becomes a little bit of a fatalist, you know. Guy falls and breaks his leg and he says, well, praise God, that's over. You know, I got that over with. Well, whatever happens in your life, it's over. You go on because why? The future's bright. Christ's coming back. I'm getting that glorified body. I'm going to live with Him forever. But in the meanwhile, we may go through some heartaches. We will. We will go through some difficulties. But Jesus Christ is faithful. And the Psalms are a wonderful place for us to go to find comfort and mentoring for our soul, how to pray to God and cast our burden on the Lord. And so that brings us to the fifth point. What do you do when you're overwhelmed? What do you do when you feel like there's no hope, you follow what David did here in Psalm 142. And you take these four steps, and here's the fifth one, the last one. Trust the Lord as your refuge and portion. Put your faith back in Him. Faith isn't dependent on feelings. Faith is dependent on who God is and His promises. Notice in verse 5, I cried unto Thee, O Lord. I said, Thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. God, You'll protect me. You'll provide for me. I'm putting my faith in You. This word for refuge, the hiding place, the place of safety. You are my refuge. You find that word used over and over and over in the Psalms. God, You're my refuge. You're my refuge. You're my refuge. I was looking at some of the places where this is found, and often it's found right at the very beginning of the Psalm. The psalmist just starts out, God, You're my refuge. You're my refuge. It's found in Psalm 7:1, 11:1, 16:1. Then in 18:2, 25:20, 31:1, 46:1, 57:1, 61:3, 62:7, 91:2, 94:1, 141, 143, 144, you get the idea. All through the Psalms, the psalmist is crying out, God, You're my refuge. You're my refuge. You're my refuge. We need to see that. We need to claim that as the psalmist did. And so we see that he cries out to God in verse 6, attend to my cry, for I'm brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors. He's back now to crying out to God, for they are stronger than I. See, he's saying, Lord, You listen to me. You do hear me. You do hear me. It's not dependent on my feelings. It's a fact. God answers prayer. God hears prayer. Don't you love that verse where Jesus says, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Now, we know that there are other verses. We have to look at the whole of Scripture on the doctrine of prayer. And the Bible does say if we ask anything in His will, He will do it. And we don't fully understand the meshing of the sovereignty of God and the responsibility of man. For we know the Bible says you have not because you ask not. So there are things that we don't get because we don't ask. Our part is to ask. And the Bible tells us, call upon me, call upon me. And we know when we ask in Jesus' name, we're asking on His authority, who He is and His power and His position. And we know that if it is a good thing that will glorify God, if it is in God's will, and if it can be given, it will be given. And we can pray in confidence. If we ask anything in His name, He will do it. Well, this is what the psalmist is doing. He's saying, in essence, I believe God listens to me. I believe God delivers and rescues. And then verse 7, bring my soul out of prison that I may praise Thy name. The righteous shall compass me about, for Thou shalt deal bountifully with me. God, You aren't done with me. I may feel like in this pit of despair, there is no hope. And there may be no hope in man, but there's hope in God. And He is affirming, Lord, You aren't done with me. You still have grace and goodness. You're going to surround me, encompass me with encouragement, with righteous friends, with people who will come alongside me. God, I believe, and I'm trusting You anew and afresh. David just worked through in his psalm, verse 7 verses, what we need to work through. What are they? Just review them quickly. Cry out to the Lord, number one. Number two, show Him your troubles. That's in verse 2. Verse 3, tell Him when you're overwhelmed. Talk to God about the emotions that are in your heart and soul. Don't run from God. Emotions are not good or bad. They're emotions. They are what they are. Now, how we handle them is a key. And as we take our emotions and pour them out to God and turn them over into God's hands, that's when God can work good out of it. Then number four, acknowledge our own inability and the inability of anyone else ultimately to meet our need. That God, this is an opportunity to trust You. And then number five, trust God. Make that conscious choice to put my faith anew and afresh. God, You're my refuge. You're my protector. You're my provider. You are the one that's going to take care of me. Well, the psalmist was honest about his feelings. He poured them out to God, and he closes on a positive note. God sets me free. He brings me out of the cave of despair. He brings me to the place of fellowship again with Christians. with other believers. He brings goodness back into my life. The Lord will deal bountifully with me. And I pray that tonight, if you happen to be in one of those times of a cave experience, or if there will be one down the road, which there will be because that's part of life, that you'll go to the Psalms, but above all, you'll go to the God of the Psalms. And that, like David, you will come to that place of confidence anew and afresh as you pour out your heart to God, that God will take care of you.